This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Good afternoon. I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shalom in these our times. Today we had our first online baby dedication because churches are yet to open due to the coronavirus outbreak, even though things are getting better here. Yes, we had that baby dedication. It was a wonderful one. At first, when the parents asked me if I could do that, I was wondering, why don't you just wait? But then I looked at it critically. I said, what will be lacking? If we can have church online, what will stop baby dedication? It is the substance that matters, not the tradition, the rituals. However, about baptism, I'm not really sure because I don't see how one can bury himself. But I guess too, even that, we can walk around it with your bathtub, have somebody around you to dip you and we pray for you. That's it. Hallelujah. Today, let me just begin by asking a question. Supposing tomorrow is the last day of humanity, what do you think God will ask his ministers, pastors, evangelists to preach? Will he ask them to preach about the imminent judgment that is coming or is already here? Or about the love of God? What do you think? Which one? Well, I guess some of you will be smart to say both. Well, we will look at that later. Today, our scripture reading is just John 3:16. And the theme is John 3:16. I know you'll be wondering what kind of a theme is that? Well, we will talk about why the title John 3:16. But first, as usual, I always want to give a recap of last week's sermon so that we refresh our mind very well. Our last sermon, main focus was Mother Rispa's unyielding love to her children, even in death. That can be found, the story that covers that can be found in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. And verse 10 is particularly about Rispa. There we found in that 2 Samuel chapter 21, if you read the very first verse, it takes us back to Joshua time, what happened there. Hundreds of years in the past, Mother Rispa's country, that is the nation of Israel, broke a covenant with her enemies, the Gibeonites. And the Israelites attempted to decimate them from the face of the earth. We know from the time of Joshua to the time of Saul and King David, we had rulers that ruled over the judges, that ruled over Israel for a period of long time, hundreds of years. King Saul also died, and it was under King Saul that this attempted genocide took place. Now it was King David that was king, and it is during this time, during the reign of King David, there was famine, and David was wondering what is happening. Probably he examined himself, but he could not understand why 3 successive years of famine. And therefore he approached and asked God. He sought the Lord, that is what the word of God said. Why this famine? And it was right for a king to care for his subjects. People are dying. There he found out that the nation of Israel, many years back, hundreds of years back, broke a covenant. Right? And made a covenant with Israel. And during King Saul, Saul broke the covenant. Genocide was committed against these enemies. You know the story, how they came about making a treaty with their enemies. So, and when David found out what happened, David was ready to make it right. So he summoned the Gibeonites, you know, demanded, we all know about what happened. The Gibeonites demanded 7 male descendants of the king, of King Saul, who carried out that genocide. They demanded 7 males of his descendants, and David obliged, and he gave them the 7 males. Of the 7 children, of the 7 males given to them, 2 of them were children of Mother Rizpah. The Gibeonites killed these 7 men and exposed them on the hill. These 2 children, the only 2 children of Mother Rizpah, were killed. They did not commit this crime, this genocide, directly, because it's hundreds of years in the past. Her children died before their time. She could not appeal her case because the order is coming from the highest authority, the king. You can imagine her pain, her agony, her sorrow, her helplessness. Yes, Mother Rizpah was helpless, but she did not go back to her room to mourn to death. Mother Rizpah could still do something. She had a pair of eyes, and she decided to use them. Her legs can walk, she can move. She went out to stay. The word of God tells us that she lay a sackcloth on the rock in order to sleep there and watch over the bodies, because they were exposed. They could be eaten by wild beasts or the birds. She fought the birds, the wild beasts, day and night for 5 months. She withstood the rottening, the stench, the terrible odor from the dead bodies. She watched every flesh dropped off their bodies. The stench, the smell from a dead body is not something that you can withstand. I remember when I was young, I watched one house that they lost somebody, but they could not bury that person right away. It took time. But when the body started rotting, rigor mortis, people started moving away from the house. That's true. If you recall what Martha told Jesus, that opening that, rolling that stone, she said, if the tomb is open, there will be stench because Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Just 4 days. But Mother Rizpah withstood 5 months. She withstood the rottening and stench of the bodies. What manner of love is this? Yes, we cannot fathom it. Rizpah's motherly love mirrored God's love over a sinner. If Rizpah can love so much, even after their children, her children, were killed how much more of God? He is love, and the source of the love that mothers like Rispa had for her dead children. Romans 5:8, where we read, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, sin smells. We were dead in sin. Dead in sin. Sin smells. Anything that is sin in the physical, there is the truth in the spiritual reality of it. The word of God says in Amos chapter 5 verse 21, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. That's what the Lord says. Some of you might have read this book by Mary Baxter, A Divine Revelation of Hell. She had a tour of heaven, and she saw also the horrors of hell. In her description, she said, there is this odor of evil coming out from hell, the stench from the rottening of the flesh. She said it is the worst odor she ever smelled. It smelled so horrible that it was taking her breath out of her. Brothers and sisters, what am I trying to say? What is the message here? I want to tell you, no matter how bad, how unrighteous you feel, no matter how terrible things you have done, yes, they are stench to God, but God still loves you. God still loves you. Know this truth. Get it rooted in your heart that God loves you. And if only you can trust Him. And also, stop whining about situations in your life. Look around you. Look inside of you. Look around you. There is something you can do. There is always something you can do. Stop saying there is nothing to do. Mother Rispa got a pair of eyes, and she used them to watch the dead bodies for whatever reasons. Certainly not to bring them back to life, because if she could bring them, she could have done it. But she watched. They were rottening. The stench was there. She couldn't bring them back to life. But we have God, who is able to bring the dead back to life. You can wait on Him. You can trust Him. When there is nothing for you to do, when things are not moving, when you do all you can, use your eyes, fix your gaze upon Jesus on every situation. As Jesus is lifted up in our times, He says, look up, fix your gaze on Him, and be ye saved. Just as Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, then whoever that was bitten by a snake and look at the bronze snake, they lived. The same thing today. No matter how dead your situation is in sin, if you look on Jesus and ask Him to forgive you, He will wash you. He loves you. In our times, Jesus is lifted up on the cross, and whosoever shall look unto Him will be saved. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father in heaven, open the eyes of our hearts to the revelations in John 3:16. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go back to that question that I asked initially. Which message will God have us preach if tomorrow is the last day? Which message? The coming judgment or the love of God? I I said, some will say both. Yes, and I want to agree with them both. Brothers, if I could borrow a Jacob's ladder, climb up to heaven and ask Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, to tell me which message should we be preaching, I guess, according to my conviction, it is not in the word of God, but this is what I'm convinced it will be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That should be our message. Dwight L. Moody understood it, that it is not about always preaching how God hates sin. He understood it when this young English boy, Harry Moore, preached in his church in Chicago. Harry Moore preached over and over, day and night, on John 3:16. And when Moody got it, Moody put this sign with these words above his pulpit: God is love. The truth of it, our message should be balanced, should be well balanced from the pulpit. And I dare to tell you, run away from any church that does not give you a balance of this truth. As we see in John 3:16, it is well balanced. As to which comes first, to preach love or about his judgment? If you look at John 3:16, the very first part of it is about God's love. Now, regarding the title of this sermon that I say, the title is John 3:16. To be very honest, if you really know John 3:16, you will find difficulty in giving a title that captures all that is in it. I think the best is to make series on it. And by God's grace, that is what we shall be doing. Now, let's read again John 3:16. I know you have read it, you have heard it, you have memorized it, you know it by heart, you have quoted it several times. However, I want to read it to your listening, trusting that the Lord will give you more insight, or give us more insight, in this one verse of the third chapter of John, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If only there is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and know the other part, that is, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's just about God loves you, Jesus loves you. Christianity is all rosy kind of faith, happiness, joy. And you know what? That is what is the message of many churches today. Hyper grace. God is so loving, forgiving, merciful. Yes, he is. That's true. They don't talk about the wrath of God, how God hates sins, not sinners. While others, it is all about works. It's all about legalism, as if the works of righteousness is what guarantees them the ticket to heaven. Yes, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But it did not say you can add anything to the finished work of Christ. After all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Yes, while we must be watchful, alert, running away from all appearances of evil, we must always depend on the righteousness of Jesus, the atoning blood of Jesus over us is our ticket to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. When you look at John 3:16, two things stand out: the love and the truth. God loves us. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, you can't preach about the love of God without also talking about the consequences of rejecting it or anyone treating it with contempt or carelessness. You can't preach heaven without talking about hell. The cross, if we look at this, is a point where there is justice and mercy, God's wrath and mercy. It is the question of sweet and bitter truth that it's twined about our lives. You don't want to do anything with one that does not love you truthfully. Love, true love, always rejoices in the truth. Hallelujah. Next question that I would like to ask is, do you understand John 3:16? If you say you understand it, here is a question for you. Do you understand why God, who has the power to do anything, yet subject his only son to such a cruelty, shame, or agonizing death in the hands of those he created? Do you understand that? How do you expect somebody like Mother Rispa to understand God's love? To understand that he is God of justice and mercy, when he could have stopped the execution of her only children who did not commit the crime directly? What about the mother of Jesus? She couldn't understand. She had questions when the angel told her what will happen. But she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." As for understanding, it is beyond her. But she knows God's word. She believes and has faith in God. So let it be. I can understand how it's going to happen. A woman, a virgin. All the angels were saying the power of God will overshadow you. It doesn't make sense in her carnal mind. But she believes God and whatever he says is possible. Brothers and sisters, understanding comes with gradual intimacy, relationship, and fellowship with the Lord. Our faith in God majorly is not about understanding, but knowing and believing in the Word of God. That is why the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, "And without faith it is impossible to please God." What is faith? By my understanding, it is simply trust and obey. There is nothing like understanding in the equation. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, just picking out the phrase out of it, says, "Because I know whom I believed." Paul did not say, "I understand whom I believe in." Let me read you two stories to drive this point of knowing, believing, and not understanding that is more often important in our faith in God. The first story, titled "Young Boy on Roof of His Burning Home." One night, a house caught fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump! I will catch you, son." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. Well, as you can imagine, he was afraid to leave the roof. But his father kept yelling, "Jump, I will catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied in frustration, "But I can see you, and that is all that matters." Father was frustrated. "You cannot see, but I can see you. You can see God, but God can see you.
That is all that matters. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, take up your cross and follow me. I have been through this way. You haven't been. I know the terrain very well, the valleys. I know their plans. I know where they are. I know when they will execute these plans against you. Follow me. That is all that matters. It is dark, but darkness is light to me. I know the path I'm taking you. It's not the question of understanding. How can we go through this dark alley? How can I go through this valley infested with demons? How can I go through these problems? God is telling you, there is a way through. I am the way. The other story is this, titled The Story of a Hungry Boy and John 3:16. In the city of Chicago, one cold dark night, a blizzard was setting in. A little boy was selling newspaper on the corner. The people were in and out of the cold. The little boy was so cold that he wasn't trying to sell many papers. He walked to a policeman and said, Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you? You see, I sleep in a box up around the corner and there and down the alley, and it is awful cold in there for tonight. Sure will be nice for a warm place to stay. The policeman looked down at this little boy and said, you go down the street to that big white house and you knock on the door. When they come to the door, you just say John 3:16 and they will let you in. Well, the boy said, wow. Anyway, so he did. He walked up the steps and knocked on the door, and the lady answered. He looked up and said, John 3:16. And he was just, I believe, in his mind, wow, what's going to happen? The lady said, come on in, son. She took him in and sat him down in a split bottom rocker in front of a great big old fireplace. And she went off. The boy sat there for a while and thought to himself, John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm. Later she came back and asked him, are you hungry? He said, well, just a little. I haven't eaten a couple of days, and I guess I could stand a little bit of food. The lady took him in the kitchen and sat him down on the table full of wonderful food. He ate and ate until he couldn't eat anymore. Then he thought to himself, John 3:16, boy, I don't understand, but it sure makes a hungry boy full. She took him upstairs to a bathroom, to a huge bathtub filled with warm water, and he sat there and asked for a while. And soaked for a while, rather. As he soaked, he thought to himself, John 3:16, I sure don't understand, but it sure does make a dirty boy clean. Because he had not had a bath for many days, and here is this. And that night, as he lay in darkness and looked out at the window at the snow coming down on that cold night, he thought to himself, John 3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a tired boy rested. You know, it continued that way. All the goodness and kindness that he received is all back. When he thought over himself, John 3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure gives a boy comfort. And that continued. And the story ends where the woman in the morning brings him down, sat down with him, brought out an old Bible and read to him John 3:16. And it led to his receiving Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you may not understand fully John 3:16. But you can know. Have faith in God. There is so much in John 3:16. This John 3:16 that have about 25 letters or 24 has so much. Let me quickly go through them. We have these words: God, love, God's love, world, God's son. It talks about lacking. It talks about giving. It talks about receiving. It talks about the gift. It talks about the, it describes the type of gift. It gives, it tells us the effect of that gift. It talks about believing. It talks about the freedom of choice. It talks about life. It talks about types of life. It talks about eternity. The question is that can arise from this John 3:16. Who is God? What is love? What is God's love? Why was there given? Why was there receiving? Who are the recipients of this gift? What is the gift? What type of gift? What is life? What are the types of life? What is the description of this gift? What is the importance, the effect of this gift? What is the span life of the gift? Why does God love you so much? What is the freedom of choice? And what are the consequences of receiving or rejecting this gift? It's all packed, full packed in John 3:16. I want to ask you again, do you know John 3:16? Truthfully, to answer these questions and many other, you will end up talking about what happened from the very beginning of creation. You will talk about why Jesus came, and you will be talking about the end time. As I've said earlier, that supposing it is just John 3:16a, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, but all of us know true love can only be known and appreciated when it is demonstrated or expressed. I want to suggest to the ladies, to the young ladies that are at the age of marriage, my daughters in the Lord, if men, boys come to you, suitors come to you, I love you, tell them thank you. Love is good. Thank you for loving me. But just say, please don't be offended. I would like to ask you a simple question. Do you know John 3:16? I recall in one of our family times, this discussion came around relationship, and my daughter Jessica said that part of the question she will be asking any boy that comes to her and tell her that he's in love with her, she'll be asking him the following questions: do you read the Bible? How many verses do you know? Do you have devotions? Do you fast? Do your parents pray together? Do your parents pray and fast together? I was at first, but I wisely tell Lord how she can ask such questions. Yes, because that is what she sees her parents doing. Anyway, you still go ahead to ask that question. Ask the intended suitor who said he loves you. And if you are sure you are ready for a relationship, a godly one, you ask him that John 3:16. Certainly, if he's a Christian, he will say he knows. He knows that John 3:16. Then go ahead to ask him as part of your discussion and ask him, what is the reason of you loving me? Because in John 3:16, there is a reason God gave his son, love. And you're telling me you love me. So what is your reason for loving me? And in that John 3:16, you tell him God also expressed his love by giving his love. Then you ask him, how are you going to express your love to me? My beautiful daughters in the house of God, why all these questions about John 3:16? This is all about putting boundaries, no-go areas, if you are in a relationship or about to start one. Then tell him as well, God's love is not in secret. He loved the world. He gave his son. Tell him, okay, if you love me also, can we tell others your intentions? Can we share with others? Well, probably your suitor will be getting frustrated and he may ask, he doesn't understand why all these questions about John 3:16. Well, you can kindly tell him that truly you yourself don't understand fully John 3:16. But you know it does work to protect you. It does work for a healthy relationship that will bring God the glory. Hallelujah. I encourage you to spend time reading and meditating on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Next, we shall begin with that word, God. Who is God? What is love? What is God's love? Hallelujah. Amen. As you go forth, that which you have learned, received, or heard and was convicted, put into practice accordingly. May you dwell on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, lovable, and admirable before the Lord. May the God of grace, God of mercy, God of peace, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you now and forever. God bless you. Amen.